Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Why is the Holy Spirit so important? And I certainly feel the presence of God. The Holy Spirit in this building just felt like everybody came to church with their mind made up that they were going to reach out and touch His garment, that they were going to give God some praise here tonight. And if that is a consensus, I can promise you that we won't go home disappointed. But somebody's going to go home with a miracle intact that's going to change their life. Give God a big praise. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19, verse number 2. Paul said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You may be seated. There's probably no better description of the modern denominational church in the Bible than that verse that I just read to you. But the Holy Spirit is seething in the power of God. It seethes in the Scripture. It moves in the presence of God. It moves in the Word of God. It's a part of God's church. And God intended for His church to be alive with the Holy Ghost. God never intended for His church to be powerless. He never intended for His church to be spiritless. He never intended for His church to be answerless. God intended for His church to be the salt and the light of this world. That means the healing and the vision of this world. The church without the Holy Spirit is like a swimmer without water. It's like lungs without an oxygen. It's like a well with no water. It's like earth with no sun. It's like a choir with no song. It's like a car with no engine. It's like a bank with no money. It's like a hospital with no medicine. A church without the Holy Ghost is fraudulent and misrepresents the God that we know, because He's not a God of used to be. He is a God that now is. He's not a God that used to have more power than He's got now. He is a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that whatever He has done, He can do today. And whatever He has done, He will do today. It's God's pleasure to demonstrate His Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the hope of the world. There is no hope for this world without it. It's the balm in Gilead. It's the cure for the cancer of sin. It's the joy for the distress of sorrow. It's the answer to hopelessness. It's the emancipation of slavery. It's the redemption of the wretched. Praise God, but we have a real responsibility. And that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Scripture has said, until something happens to us. It's not simply enough to believe on Christ as the world says, or as a denomination says, but you must believe on Him as the Scripture has said. And what the Bible said about Jesus is phenomenal. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is the Waymaker. Praise God. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our Savior. He is our baptizer. He is our friend. This is as the Scripture has said. If you believe on Him as the Scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You must get a real picture of Christ as the Scripture says He is. He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the beginning. He is the ending. Praise God. He is the Son of righteousness. He's all of that. And friend, if you will believe that, the response of God to you believing that is that He will indwell you, baptize you, overflow you with the Holy Spirit until something comes out of you. Not something comes in you, but something comes out of you. God wants the Holy Spirit flowing out of you every day. But the Holy Spirit must be kept moving. It must be kept moving. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as blowing. It's wind bloweth where it listeth. It describes the Holy Spirit as flowing like a river, springing up like a well. The Holy Ghost is never stagnant. God tells us that once we receive this gift, it's not enough for it to be a depository. It's not enough for it to be a cistern, but it has to be a springing up. Paul would write to Timothy and say, the real key to my ministry is that I am anointed of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. The reason why I can preach and convert, the reason why I can change people's lives, the reason why I can lay hands on the sick and them recover, the reason why I can be the mouthpiece of God and the oracle of heaven is because there is a gift in me called the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he said, I've learned the key is to stir it up. Stir it up. And so, Timothy, I write unto you, stir up the gift. Friend, can I bring an admonition to everybody in this building that is a saint of the living God, that is a believer on Christ, as the Scripture has said, that you have a responsibility to keep the Holy Spirit fresh in your life, to stir it up every day of your life. You ought to get up and stir up the gift that God has given you because it is the power of God into salvation. It's what ignites the human spirit. It's what empowers us where we are not natural but supernatural. It's what gives us the power to have signs following us. Let Living Way Church, that's always been viewed as being a little out there, a little far to the right, a little extreme, let us ask God for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Let this place be set afire. Let us match the men's message of the end time. Let us not be fearful of anything the culture produces, but let us know that every weapon that God has given us is anointed for this day and time, but they are anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Never to be quenched. Never to be stifled, never to be bound, never to be restricted. The Holy Spirit is to be a moving entity in your life. It wasn't something just to give you a cute language and put you in a gray elite crowd of charismatics. It was given to you so that that same Spirit that was in Christ would be in you, and He could say, greater works than these shall you do. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has never come into its own because we have never had a generation that has done greater works than Christ. But He has given us a promise as the last generation that there will be a greater anointing on us and we will do greater works than even Christ did. And it's going to take not intellect, it's not going to take theology. It's not going to take denominationalism, religion. It's going to take people that are fire with the Holy Ghost. That every day of their life they get up and stir up that gift and say, praise God, I'm called to my generation. The Bible said David served his generation and he slept with his fathers. It's not time to sleep. It's time to serve our generation. And we can't serve our generation until we are full of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is flowing out of us every day of our life. Can you give God some praise? Oh, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me since Sunday. He said about this Wednesday night service, somebody's going to come out of your pew tonight healed. You're never going to have that sickness again. Somebody's going to have a door swing open and you'll walk through it on Thursday. Praise God. This is a special night where the power of the Holy Spirit is in this room and God is going to be doing some wonderful things. Never to be quenched. Never to be stifled. Never to be bound. Never to be restricted. The Bible said in a certain generation and dispensation when Christ walked the earth that there was a time where there was a pool of water and an angel would trouble that water and the first person in would be healed. That was a great moment for the person who was sick. But the problem was that it was restricted to one person per season. Just one. That's all. Nobody else could get their miracle. And Jesus, when He was on this earth, He would go and heal those that He touched. But the problem was that it was restricted to His human body. But the reason why Christ said greater works is because it's not going to be an angel troubling the water in one season. It's not going to be one person getting their healing. But He said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be 100. There's going to be 1,000. There's going to be 10,000. There's going to be 100,000. There's going to be 1,000,000. There's going to be 10 million. There might be 100 million of people that have the same spirit that Christ had. And they're going to go throughout the world and change this world. This world is looking for answers, but nobody's standing up with an answer because they don't know what to do. The Republicans have failed. The Democrats have failed. The socialists have failed. It's time for the Church of the Living God to take its rightful position, and we can't just show up and say we have nothing. The Bible tells us a story about the two runners, and one outrun the other. And he got there and he said, "What did you see?" And he said, "I saw a great tumult, but I don't know what happened." He said, "Stand aside." And then the other runner came, the second runner, and he said, "What did you see?" And he graphically described what he had seen, the battle. Ladies and gentlemen, before we ever got here, there were philosophers, there were teachers, there were people that had ideas, there were educators, but they were the first runner. We are a little late, but we ain't too late. Praise God, because we're about to show up on the scene, and we've got a story to tell, and we've got a ministry to perform, and we've got an anointing to display, because we are God's people. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not going to let the Spirit of God be dormant. We're going to stir up the gift. We're going to say, "Blow, wind, blow." We're going to say, "Move, God, move," because we are alive with the Holy Ghost. And so that angel troubled the water in another dispensation. We are to trouble the Holy Spirit in this dispensation. That word trouble there is unique. It doesn't mean to make trouble. It means to never let rest. It troubled the water. It churned the water. It stirred up the water. It wouldn't let the water rest. And so that person that got into that water was healed. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God wants you to stir up this Holy Spirit in your life. And not in your life only, but your brother's life, your sister's life, the church's life, the people's life. Stir up the Holy Spirit. That is our responsibility. The Bible said the storm was great. The disciples were afraid. The waves were large. The thunder was loud. The lightning was piercing. And of all things, Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. Did you ever wonder why Jesus slept during the storm? Number one, because he wanted to show us our role in this world. But number two, he was resolved to victory. He knew victory was predestined. But when Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane praying, the Bible said the disciples slept. They didn't sleep because they were resolved to victory. They slept because they were resolved to defeat. They believed that victory was beyond their grasp and defeat was inevitable. Friend, it is our time to wake up the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, we have come to this generation, but we do not come alone. We come, Lord, beseeching that we would be filled with the same Spirit that was able to awaken Christ, the same Spirit that was to anoint Christ, the same Spirit that caused Christ to do miracles. That self-same Spirit is in us. And so we ought to talk to the Holy Ghost that is inside of us, and we ought to say, 'Wake up.'" Let us demonstrate our role, and that is to wake up the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God wants you to stir that gift up tonight. You've got that gift in you. Paul didn't question the validity of their belief. He just wondered why there was no power there. And friend, I can tell you today that that's the same question that heaven has. The Bible said this last generation shall be viewed by people in heaven as they look across the battlements of heaven and look down on us. And their question is not, "Do you believe?" Their question is, "Why are you doing so little with so much when we did so much with so little?" Because you are a generation, a peculiar generation, a called out generation, an equipped generation. And do you want to sit on your hands like Laodicea and said, "Well, I'm doing all I can do"? No, we're not. Friend, we got to stir up the gift of God. We've got to quit talking about having a TV ministry and a pulpit ministry. What we need are people that have healing ministries. And I don't mean a television ministry where you blow somebody down. I mean when you're going about your daily affairs on your job and somebody said, "I got to talk to you, Sister Tammy. I was just diagnosed of cancer and the Holy Ghost is so strong." And you say, "No problem, sister. Can you come over here out of of the way, because I'm going to lay hands on you. And the Bible said, I'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Ladies and gentlemen, this house is full of miracle workers that are waiting to be discovered by this generation, but you won't be discovered until the Holy Ghost is stirred up inside of you, until it becomes noise abroad. She's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. He's got power in his hands, power in his heart. There's something different about him. Will you give God some praise in this auditorium? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I talked a lot on Sunday about what the real purpose of the Holy Spirit is, and he has so many wonderful purposes in our life. Praise God, the benefits. He's the comforter. He's the teacher. He's the guide. I covered all of this on Sunday. He's the power. He's joy unspeakable. I didn't talk about this, but he is the intercessor. Praise God. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes you don't know the answer to the problem. Whether it's your problem or somebody God sent you to, you just don't have the answer. But do you understand, if you can stir up the gift and begin to pray in the Spirit of God, that God will begin to speak and God will intercede for your weakness and God will intercede for your lack of ability and God will intercede for your shyness and God will intercede for your question, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will well up in you, and the Bible said you'll have to take no thought of what you're going to say. You'll open your mouth and the Holy Ghost will fill it. You won't have a question of what you ought to do. The Holy Ghost will just tell you exactly what to do. And when you leave that place, you won't leave it like you found it. It'll be the wake of the Holy Spirit. And everybody that knows said, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. He wants to intercede. The next thing is, number 7, if you're keeping notes from Sunday, private communication with God. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. To be able to communicate directly is amazing. I know some famous people in my life. I've got some of their phone numbers in my phone. But I guarantee you right now, if I call, they're not going to answer their phone. They're going to have some secretary answer. It won't be answered at all. But ladies and gentlemen, those numbers are not important. Whether I can get them in an instant, whether I can talk to them personally, doesn't matter. But when you get filled with God's Holy Spirit, do you understand now that you are linked up with the Creator of the universe? The God that began all of this is now on your friends list. He is now at the top of your frequent caller list. Because praise God, you can punch one button and suddenly God's on the line. Hallelujah. We can communicate with him by praying in the Holy Spirit. Number 8, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall dwell in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Holy Spirit. That word quicken means make alive. It's a sin for a Christian to be living in this world and to be dead to the call of God, dead to the opportunity, dead to the abundance, dead to what God wants to do for you and what God wants you to do for him. God said, I want to make you alive. I want to quicken you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to Timothy talking about people that are not of God. He said, she liveth in pleasure, is dead while she lives. But praise God, the opposite is true. We are dead to the flesh, but we are alive while we are dead to the flesh. We are alive in the Spirit of God. Dead to sin, alive in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, stirring up the gift. Your behavior either entertains or repels and offends the Holy Ghost. And only you can answer that. Does your behavior repel or does it attract the Holy Spirit? Does it stir up the gift of God or does it cause the Spirit of God to remain dormant in your life? I'm not questioning your experience. I'm not questioning what you believe. I'm just asking, is the Holy Spirit activated in your life, or is it dormant because of your behavior? If you look like the world, curse like the world, live like the world, drink like the world, smoke like the world, smell like the world, live like the world, go to the clubs like the world, I can tell you that the Holy Spirit is dormant in your life at best. Friend, you have to come out and be you separate, because you are separate. That woman that lives next to you ain't you, praise God. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That man at work is not you. You are a peculiar treasure, because you are filled with the very Spirit of Almighty God. Number 9, the Holy Spirit is the outflow. This is important. Victory comes from within. Let me say that loud and clear. Victory never comes from without. Victory comes from within. There is nothing from without a man that entered in him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, Jesus said, those are they that defile the man. He would say again in Matthew 15, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Praise God, but Jesus would give us this promise. If you would believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's what flowing out to you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. It only matters what flows out of you. Because, praise God, I can tell you that what seems to be a dilemma, what seems to be a trap, what seems to be a temptation, what seems to be a torment, friend, if you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, it might come against you, but what's inside of you begins to come out. It flows like a river. They use the term drinking from a fire hose. Friend, when the devil comes against you, he ought to be trying to drink from a fire hose. It ought to blow his teeth out. It ought to blow his pitchfork out of his hand. Praise God, because it's what's inside of you that counts. That's where the victory is. Praise God, things are going to happen to you, but it's the outflow that decides the outcome. It's not what happens to you. He said, it's not what flows in. He said, it's what flows out. You said, I went through a divorce. I've told you a dozen times about the little lady in this church that went through an unwanted divorce from an unfaithful husband. And a man at work called me and he said, does so-and-so go to your church? I said, she sure does. He said, I'll be there Sunday, because I work right next to her. She's going through a horrible divorce, but I've never seen anybody handle it like she's handled it, and got the victory that she's got and the joy she's got. And she said, whatever she's got, that's what I want. That you can go through a divorce and, praise God, what's flowing out of you is greater than the divorce. It's greater than the hatred that is directed to you. It's greater than the enemy that comes against you. It's greater than a bad boss. It's greater than being fired. It's greater than being falsely accused. Jesus said, whatever comes out of you is going to be the deciding factor. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. The outflow decides the outcome, whether it's going through a divorce or a financial reversal or a betrayal. Our governor, Governor Abbott, I don't know whether you know his history or not. If you see him, he's in a wheelchair. When he was going to college, he was running. Of all things, he was jogging, and a big limb fell off of a tree and fell on him while he was jogging. How unlucky can you get? Friend, it wasn't luck. It was the devil hates you, and he's going to do everything he can. That was a time for him to go on welfare. That was time for him to say, I'll never be anything. But he went on and finished his college, got his law degree, and now he's the governor of the great state of Texas. Friend, even though he's in a wheelchair, it's not what the devil does to you. It's how you respond to it. I'm telling you, there's not a weapon formed against you can prosper. The devil can't stop you. You are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this building right now. You have a responsibility when you walk through those doors. Friend, we need to break this down. If somebody comes in and they're a sinner, they have no responsibility but just to sit down and let us talk to them and let them see what's going on. But if you are a born-again believer, if you're filled with God's Spirit, you have a real responsibility, and that is to create an aura all around you. That is to create a climate in this building. If you say you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to see what happens, praise God. You're not a thermometer, you're a thermostat. You're going to change the climate. You're going to decide what happens in this building. It doesn't matter what's happened to you during the day, praise God, because you've got an outflow, and that outflow is going to begin to flow into this building. And no matter what the devil's trying to do, he won't be able to resist what God is doing, because the water table will begin to rise up. When we walk into this building, it's about here. But praise God, when the saints of the living God say, wait just a minute, Jesus said, out of the same vessel can't flow sweet water and bitter water. He said, you got to have one or the other. Friend, he said, out of the same vessel can't come cursing and blessing. I know that you have a bad accident. I know you hit your thumb with a hammer, but praise God, instead of cursing the name of God, you say, thank you, Jesus, while you hop on one foot. When you get out of the car to talk to the lady that rear-ended you, you say, thank you, Lord, it wasn't worse. I'm still alive. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the outflow, praise God. And when you come into this building, we're not just depending on 15 people on this platform. We're depending on every saint of God, every child of God, every worshiper, everybody that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, everybody that's been born again. Praise God, you need to open up the nostril and say, I'm going to create an outflow here today. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit flow. I'm telling you that somebody in this building is sick right now, but if everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost would let the Holy Ghost flow out of their belly, praise God, I'm telling you, somebody would get healed in this building tonight. Somebody would get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody would get set free. Somebody would get liberated. Hey, I'm talking about you. Turn it loose. Open it up. Let it flow out. Can you give God some praise in the name of Jesus? Woo! Shako sotolo hoya. Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Spirit can't stay dormant. It's got to move. It's got to flow. It's got to spring up. It's got to be stirred. You've got the Holy Ghost, just like the Bible said. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And 99% of the people in this building say, yeah. Well, friend, that's not enough. If you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, is there a belly flowing experience? Is it coming out of your innermost being? Do you let the Holy Ghost flow every day? Do you stir it up every day? Does the wind blow every day? Does it overflow every day? It's supposed to right now. All over this building, people ought to be letting the Holy Spirit flow. Say, what is that? He said it's the self-same spirit that Christ had. That means when you let it flow out, it's like Jesus coming out of you. Praise God. It's just like Jesus coming out of you. And when Jesus came to town, things happened. Sick people got healed. The lost people got saved. Deaf people could hear. Dumb people could talk. Demon-possessed people got free. Let it flow. Let it go. I'm not just talking about the next 3 minutes. I'm talking about the rest of your life. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shiko soto loba kasaria. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Right now, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yomoko sotara. I went to the little bank down in South Texas to cash a $1,217 check. I stood there. Three tellers visiting among themselves. Not one person said anything to me. I stood there 5 minutes. And finally I said, ladies, apparently I'm interrupting something. You don't have time for me. So I left that sorry little Wells Fargo bank in Kennedy, Texas, and drove straight to the Wells Fargo bank in Floresville. When I opened the door, everybody in that bank said, welcome to Wells Fargo. And two or three of them said, I can take you here, sir. That's the difference. What do we say to people when they come into this place? We're saved and we ain't got time for you. If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to do it all by yourself. Are we going to be like Jesus and say, I don't care if you've got five husbands, praise God. I'm going to get something out of the well and I'm going to give you to drink tonight because I'm a walking, talking miracle. I'm full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus lives inside of me. The same spirit that was in Christ is now in me. I can heal your sickness. I can forgive your sins. I can break your bondage. I am an ambassador of Christ on planet Earth. Give the Lord a shout. Somebody that needs a miracle in this building, and I don't care what kind of a miracle it is, brother. What kind of a miracle you need. If you need a miracle, I challenge you to get out in the aisle. Stagger, run, somehow begin to make your way toward God. And then every one of you people here that are understanding what I'm talking about, you release that water, you release that river, and praise God, she won't leave like she came. God will be providing a miracle in their life. Somebody's going to walk out of here with no pain in their knees, no pain in their hips, no pain in their belly, no pain in their lungs, no pain in their head. They're going to walk out of here with no addiction to whiskey and drugs because Jesus is in the house. I see him all over this building. Give the Lord some mighty praise in this house. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost.